as well. This morning I'm talking about wisdom, and we're continuing our series about wisdom. And I know there's a number of young adults here, and I was thinking back to when I was a young adult 20 years ago, and I was thinking back to what it was like to make key decisions in your life. Probably one of the most key decisions you make in your life is who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Who remembers what that was like, dating? Who is still thinking about that right now? Any hands up? Anyone ready to single and they want to mingle here this morning? Do you remember what it was like when you have to decide who you're going to marry? Do you remember that? I remember that. Is this the right decision to make? Melinda, who is sleeping in bed at the moment, as any good pastor's wife should, on a Sunday morning. She's actually just flown in. I picked her up this morning from the airport at 5 a.m., so we'll give her a break. But we got married, my wife and I, 24-plus years ago. This year is our 25th wedding anniversary, and I think that means paper, isn't it? It's paper, right, men? It's paper, isn't it? No, it's not diamonds. Get behind me, Satan. 25 years. Who would have thought? Let me tell you something personal. There was someone who, and Melinda knows this well, who said, "Are you sure you want to marry her? Aren't you going to be a pastor?" She's been the best pastor's wife that I could ever have wished for. Ever have wished for. She has made this house, this church, so much of this is reflective of her and her generosity and her hospitality. And I married the best wife that I could marry. But I remember, she's not here, but you can clap. You know, when you're in that moment, how do you know who to marry? How do you know what to do with your life? Crucial decisions you make back in young adult years. What do I do with the rest of my life? What do I do with my life? If I go to university and I get this degree, or I go and get this apprenticeship, or I do this job, what's going to happen to me in 20 years' time? Because here's the thing. When it comes to some decisions in your life, they have decades of consequences in the right sense of the word. So consequence, often we use it as a negative. It can also be a positive. So there will be results from decisions you make when you're a young adult that will have results for you for the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years because you made that decision. So how do you make that decision? How do you decide? Even small decisions. 12 months ago, this is oversharing. 12 months ago, I went to the dentist, and the dentist said to me, "Mark, your teeth are actually not bad for your age." Right, never going back to you again. And he said to me, "But you need to floss." And I said, "Floss?" And then I was asking Ruby what flossing is, and she's doing some weird dance move. That's not flossing. Apparently flossing is when you get stuff and you put it in between your teeth and you... Does anyone here know what I'm talking about? Yes. Okay. So I've started flossing. A day decision, right? Just a simple decision you make every day. But what results or consequences does that have just from a small decision like that for your teeth, for your oral hygiene for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? So the decisions that you make are actually going to affect your life for the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 35 years. Those of you who are teenagers and young adults in particular may sometimes feel stymied, like, what do I do with this? What decision do I make? Because this is actually going to impact me. Some people choose not to get married because they see marriages of people around them that are miserable or broken. And so they say, "I can't make this decision because if I get this wrong, I'm stuck. And it's going to have consequences in my life for so long." Fortunately, as we come to the Bible and as we come to the topic of wisdom, there's there's so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. I looked up a number of different people and they talked about how to speak about Proverbs. So Proverbs, if you don't know, is a book in the Bible. It's about in the middle there somewhere, mostly written by King Solomon, and it's full of sayings. And sometimes you read these sayings and you think, well, how does this one fit in with this one? Well, a lot of the scholars will talk about actually how the book of Proverbs is actually thematic. So there's themes in the book. But I find I love to read through the book of Proverbs once a year. I actually love to sit there and just read the Proverbs. There's so much wisdom and good thoughts in there as to how to live your life. If you've never read the book of Proverbs, can I encourage you to do that? It's wisdom for life. Pastor Andrew spoke 2 weeks ago, and he basically quoted from this verse, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust not in yourself, but acknowledge the Lord and all your ways lean upon him. And he talked about hearing from God. I want to pick up a couple of verses from the in that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, thanks Josh, verse 19 to 20. This is, I know I get excited about scripture, but this is exciting, okay? So don't be bored here this morning. This is really interesting, these two verses here. It's interesting on so many levels to me. Anyway, come with me, stay with me. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and dew settles beneath the night sky. This is so interesting. It's talking about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Let's just broach this subject to start with. We're talking about this a bit this morning. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. You may think those three terms are interchangeable. They're actually not. They're actually different in what they're actually talking about. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Knowledge is basically facts. Understanding is knowing how things work. Wisdom is something altogether added on or different to those. They're three cogs in a gearbox. They're three cogs in a machine. And when they work together really well. But there are absolutely differences between these three terms. Now, when you look at this scripture, by wisdom the Lord founded the earth, I want to actually think that it's actually in the wrong order. Like, knowledge is about observing and seeing how things are. Understanding is how things work. Wisdom, why is that first? There's this thing in the Jewish scriptures where they have like a what they call a chiastic structure, where it's basically three points all matching up and all fitting together. It's like a piece of prose, like a piece of poetry. These three words are part of that structure. And it's fascinating to me that the writer puts wisdom at the very start. If you're going to build something, if you want to build the earth, if you want to build the universe, then why would you start with wisdom? I think it's because of this. Knowledge is about observing things. Let me give you an example. If you were going to plant a fruit tree, you would grab a seed and you'd put it in the ground, you'd put the appropriate amount of manure and water and everything on it, and then you would watch that tree grow and you would see the fruit come out of the tree. That is knowledge. If you observe something and you see it, and perhaps you even get a grasp on how things are working, that's knowledge. Understanding is something altogether different. Understanding is knowing what that tree is for. It's going up to the tree, picking the fruit off and eating of it, and it's good for you. So if you have knowledge and you have understanding, you can actually build a very good life for yourself. If you know how money works, you know how the stock market works, or you know how to make a fortune, if you know how even relationships work and even how people work and how to work with people, this is knowledge and this is understanding, and you can build a great life for yourself. Wisdom is something altogether different. God had everything he needed because he is immense. He knows everything that there is to know. He knows how to put a universe together. He spoke a word and the world came into being. So he has the knowledge. He has the understanding of how things work. But it was actually wisdom that caused him, this is really important, that caused him to decide to create the world. You see, God I really want you to get this. Wisdom for God was saying, I want to create people that will love me and that I can love. I want to create a universe, a world, where I have people that are made in my image. You are made in God's image. The wisdom, the wise part of the whole process for God was creating us that we could be in relationship with Him. Relationships for God is the most important currency that He has, the most important thing He did. And who knows here this morning what an incredible risk it was for God that He made the world and put humankind in it. Who knows what an incredible risk it was? Why did He make us? So He could love us and so we could love Him. What happens in the first two or three chapters of the Bible story? The people that He's made say no to Him. They reject Him. In the first part of the story, what an incredible risk it was. And yet it's still by wisdom that He makes us. Wisdom is born out of love. It's born out of relationship. So let's go back to the illustration of the tree. I plant a seed because I know that if you plant a seed, fruit will come up. Then through understanding, I'll eat that fruit. But I wonder what the wise choice to do with that fruit then is. I wonder what I could do with that tree laden with fruit. What would be wisdom to make in the decision I have there for that tree? What can I do with that fruit? Can I eat it all myself? Yeah, I can. Can I share it with people that are hungry? Yeah, I can. You see, knowledge is knowing how to plant a tree. Understanding is knowing how to care for it. Wisdom, listen, wisdom is knowing what to do with the fruit. That's the key to this scripture. Does that mean that knowledge is not important? No. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. Thanks, Josh. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are opened for knowledge. Your ears are open for knowledge. God has made us as a human race with this quest for knowledge. Sometimes it seems to me that there is so much knowledge about, it's actually almost stifling how much knowledge we have, isn't it? There's so much knowledge that we are being bombarded with. Facts are on our phones. You can find out anything you want. You just Google it. You just open up a video on YouTube and you watch someone how to make something. Knowledge is everywhere. Has it made us any better? Well, actually, I want to say yes, it has. Some of you are saying, oh, no, it hasn't. Well, actually, I think it has. What about penicillin? What about medical breakthroughs? What about all the incredible ways that we can now do amazing things for and with each other? Knowledge by itself is actually wonderful. And this insatiable desire that some people have for more knowledge and to increase their knowledge is actually wonderful. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. At Inglewood Church, we have a culture where we say we have feedback. So after the service, there'll be feedback about how the service went. We'll talk about how things went. We want to be better at what we do. We're always open to learn, always open to see how someone else does something. Knowledge is actually good. So is understanding. Proverbs 18, verse 2, which is just back from that scripture. Thanks, Josh. Fools. Does anyone know anyone like this? Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. I never want to be like that. There's a wonderful characteristic of humbleness where you can learn from anyone on any topic. You can learn from a child. You can learn from someone who's very inexperienced. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. You see, here's the thing about knowledge and about understanding. Say you've got the wisdom that says, you know what? I want to grow fruit for the poor. I want to plant a whole heap of trees. That's awesome. Maybe you have this incredible desire to do something, which is great. But the guy down the road doing it for profit is doing it so much better than what you are. Do you have more wisdom than him? Well, I want to say maybe you do. But maybe you don't have the knowledge and maybe you don't have the understanding in order to do it well. I'm right, aren't I? If you want to do something that is good and something that is great and you want to do something for God and you want to build something, you want to make something good, you've actually got to learn. You've got to understand. Your heart and your mind has got to be open to the good things around you that you can see and that you can understand. The fool has no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. I never want to be like that. I want to learn. I want to grow. I'm 48 years old and I like to think I know more now about how to do life than what I did 12 months ago. And in 12 months' time, I want to know more about how to do life and how to do what I'm trying to do better than what I did 12 months ago. Always want to learn, always want to grow. Being a Christian, being a God follower, someone that believes in Jesus, it's foolishness for us to sit there and say, I hate this saying so much. Let go and let God. That is not in the Bible, and that is a load of rubbish. You've actually got to be engaged with what God is doing in the world. You've actually got to use your intelligence that God has given you, your creativity that God has given you. Is there anything better than seeing someone that is not supernaturally, not spiritually skilled? Is there anything better than seeing someone that is really skilled at what they do saying, I'm going to use that skill for Jesus. I'm going to use my life for God. This is what I can do and I can really do it well. And wisdom, right? Wisdom is finding a way to use that to honor God. That's what wisdom is. You see, wisdom is actually making choices in your life with what you've been given. Proverbs is all about knowledge. It's all about understanding. What an incredibly powerful, irresistible force it is when you can bring these three things together. Proverbs 9 verse 10, how do you get wisdom? So how do you actually understand what your life is all about, what your life is for? Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. It's so interesting to me the way God has weaved this thought throughout even our service this morning. It just brings to my spirit just a confirmation of actually what it is to He's saying today, because we've already heard this definition of fear. There was no collusion between the people on stage, but this is very interesting. So listen for what the Spirit is saying. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in judgment. Fear of the Lord. You know, when I was sitting in the pews back when I was 10, 11, 12, when the pastor would get up there and he would talk about fear of the Lord, he was talking about something altogether different and something that I actually didn't want to know about. But this isn't what this word actually means. It's such a shame that we have lost this sense of what it actually means. Do you want wisdom? Do you want to know God's ways? Well, fear is about respect. It's about appropriate awe. That's actually what it's about. It's coming into God's feedback circle. Okay, coming into the circle of feedback that God has for your life, there is the foundation of wisdom for your life. Do you want to know what to do? Come into God's circle. Come into that fear of God, that place of holy reverence. Lord, what is it you actually have for me? What is it, Lord, you want me to do about this situation? That is the foundation of wisdom. Being married for 24 plus years, one of the things I say in pre-marriage counseling, and I say it to myself, marriage is actually, you're actually observing someone else's life. And a good husband, a good wife will observe their husband, they'll observe their wife, and what will they do? They will discover what makes them tick. They will find out what they love, what they like. They'll bring them flowers to the airport at 5 a.m. in the morning. Why do you do that? Because you love this person. You know, you want to understand them. That's exactly what this verse is saying. If you want to know wisdom, then you observe God. You observe Jesus. You discover what his ways are. You know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? When you're faced with one of those situations where you just don't know what to do, your angst written, what is this going to lead to? Well, you get into God's feedback circle. You watch God. You observe him. You read about him. You discover what it is that Jesus would do. That is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One. Do you see that? The more you know God, the more you know his ways, the more you understand his heart, you more that understand what's actually really important to God, that is going to result in good judgment. It's going to result in good decisions. This week I was, as I said, I was visiting some people and I heard another story from another lady, and she was telling me how she became a Christian, which is another whole story in itself. It's a long story, but an amazing story. One of the key things she said, she was at Murdoch University and she went to a uni church there, and she heard unpacked Matthew chapter 6. And the stuff she was telling me, for her at that time was, you know, it was life-altering, actually. To me, I thought, well, that's really interesting. One verse she picked up on, which was Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. See, at that point in her life, she was going to this place and going to that place, trying to get her life established, trying to find out what her life was about. And she shared how much she worried all the time. True godly wisdom for some of you, and this is a word for some of you this morning. True godly wisdom is not worrying as you have been about all the stuff going on in your life. It's not allowing yourself to be consumed with worry as some of you have been about all the stuff that is stressing you out and causing you stress, financial stress, relationship stress. Why is that? Do you just disregard it? No, you don't disregard it. But what does it say in the Bible? What's the wisdom from the scriptures? Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously. He will give you everything you need. It's actually understanding that God is a good father. That passage is in the context of the fact that the sparrow is fed. Things get clothes. Don't worry about all that stuff. But instead, focus first on God, and he will look after you. He will care for you. Another piece of wisdom from James chapter 4, and we're almost done. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. 25 years have gone like that. Like that. And I used to hear people talk about, oh, you'll never realize how quick life goes. When you're that point in your life and you're looking back, you think, that has just gone like that. I don't want to come to the end of my life. And I don't reckon you want to come to the end of your life. And I don't want you to think, what did I do? What decisions did I make that impacted me such and have had such a consequence on my life that now I'm stuck with this? I think you want to make good decisions. You will never make a bad decision if you're putting God in the center of that decision. You'll never make a bad decision if you're trusting in God for your future. You'll never make a bad decision if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. None of you know what your life will be like tomorrow. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while and then it is gone. And I've done so many funerals in my life to understand and to realize that we care about people, we love people, and then we put them in the ground. It's hard to say. It's hard to even think about. I don't want to depress anyone. But your life is actually like a fog. Wisdom is found in saying, you know what, God, what do you want for my life? What do you want for me? Just as the band's coming up, and we're about to close, this was a verse that David shared in our little pre-service thing there, and I thought, he shared that with us, and I thought, it's no coincidence. So why don't we all just close our eyes and just bow our heads, because I want to read this scripture over us today. For those of you perhaps who are worried, for those of you who are perhaps concerned about your life and where your life is going, you're concerned about decisions, I want you to hear this promise. This is what God says for you. If you're worried, you feel like you've come to the end of your tether, you don't know what to do next, I want you to trust this morning in a good, good Father, in someone that has your best interest at heart. God looks at you and says, "You are my son, you are my daughter, I care for you so, so much." If you've been worried about decisions, you've been worried about consequences, you've been worried about results, this scripture is for you this morning. Take this scripture. Let it bear fruit in your heart. The Lord says to you, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you." Lord, we take that promise on board. We embrace that. We're so glad for that. You are our God. We celebrate you this morning as our good, good Father. We enjoy this moment together where we can focus upon you. Help us to make, I pray for every soul. I pray for the troubled soul that they will find peace. I pray for the worried soul that they will find comfort in the promises that you will care for them. I pray for the soul that doesn't know what to do next, that they will actually find a place of trust in you, that you will guide them. You will give the best pathway for their life. That your Holy Spirit will advise us. That your angels will watch over us. That in all things we can embrace this life and live this life to the full because of the wisdom and the grace you pour out amongst us. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's praise God this morning.